Matthew chapter 12. Let's turn there as we prepare for the Lord's table today. I never cease to be amazed sometimes at how little Baptists resemble Christ. And I mean Baptists. I don't mean Christians as a whole. I mean Baptists. I'm going to talk about us today. It's always easy when we talk about somebody else, but occasionally we have to talk about ourselves. It's when you read, we're in Matthew 12, and we read verse 1 through 8. Read verses 28 through 30 with me. This is Jesus' description of himself. Very few times in Scripture does Jesus ever describe himself. Okay. Normally, he talks about his offices, his roles, but this is one of the few times where Jesus describes himself. All right? Notice what he says of himself. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice that word rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, the day of rest, right? What I want to point out to you is that what happens in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, is purposefully being contrasted with what Jesus said about himself. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but Jesus says, I don't put burdens on people. I give people rest. I relieve people from their burdens and their responsibilities and their duties. Now we find out what the Pharisees do and how they are different. At that time, Jesus went to the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. They're walking through. Now, if you have a King James Bible, it says the cornfield. All right, and you're wondering, is this field corn, is this sweet corn, or they got a nice set of teeth on them, how they're eating it? Corn is simply the old King James word for any grain that has a head on it, all right? This is what you and I would call wheat, okay? They go through, rub it off in their hands, winnow it, and chew on it. It's on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees saw it, and they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what's not lawful. We made a rule, and you're not following the rules. They could be Baptists. They would be the first Baptists. We made a rule, and you're not following the rules. There's a reason why there are rules. Don't you understand? We have rules so that everything will appear to be godly. We have rules to make sure that we don't break the Bible. I had a conversation with someone about this week, and about they had an opinion or wanted to make a rule about my behavior, and I said, don't do that unless you open up a Bible. You want to talk to me about my behavior, do it with an open Bible in your hand, or don't do that. Well, I know this isn't in the Bible, but we have to add these rules because we don't want anybody to break the Bible. I said, let me talk to you about the Pharisees. That's what they did. They had all these rules. The Bible doesn't say anything about this. You search the Scriptures over. I've looked at a few of them in my time. You won't find any rule about rubbing your hands together. The Pharisees said, that's work. You're harvesting the grain when you do that. No, I'm trying to eat. And not a very pleasant meal either, by the way. I mean, I don't mind chewing on little things, you know, kind of like you're just chewing on something. How many of you have ever done this before? Actually, you want to make a meal of that? They did it because they were hungry. And that's not much of a meal. And by the way, the Scriptures allow that. When you walk through somebody's field, you can grab something as they come through. You can take a piece of fruit and eat it. What you can't do is bring along a shopping cart. You know, stuff all the stuff in and take it away. The Bible's very specific on that. But there's a rule. Don't you know there's a rule for this kind of thing? Baptists seem to love their rules. And we make rules to determine so that your behavior will be correct here and so that we can do this. Baloney. It's Bible. The only standard is the Bible. Paul said the same thing. Paul said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Who are you? Who in the world do you think you are? It's not so much at church. We tend to do it more like in Christian day schools or Christian institutions, but this concept that you've got to live by rules that men have made up, it's in the Bible. The Pharisees did it. Just because something's in the Bible doesn't make it biblical. Biblical is when it's right. There are things that are right in the Bible and things the Bible describes that are wrong. And their idea was, it looks bad. That just doesn't look right. People will get the wrong idea about your disciples, and you wouldn't want anybody getting the wrong idea about your disciples, would you? We have this concept that we'll make rules and standards. There was a church near where we were about 10 years ago who decided that they wanted to have a dress code. We don't want people coming to church dressed inappropriately. Well, to a certain degree, I can understand that. If you're showing up in your swimming suit, I might talk to you about it. Or there are other things, and I think we would all agree that when we worship, we want to show up in a way that's appropriate to God. Of course, what you consider appropriate, what I consider appropriate, will quite often be different. But that's why God made us different. But this church decided that, no, we better make a rule to cover that. That's usually how, let's just make another rule. Well, what about the women? The women had to have the skirts a certain length, and when the women came in the door, there was a marker on the wall, a yardstick, and if their skirt was so far above their knees, what are we going to do about it? They gave them a paper skirt to wear. Truth! Absolute! This is the truth! How do I know? Because Dr. Merle F. Unger's wife, his second wife that he married, dear 80-year-old saint walked in that church and they wanted to make her wear a paper skirt. She happened to be in full possession of her faculties and she happened to be well able to tell them where to, get off. and she did, and they left the church, and she explained. And somebody came up with a great idea. We all want to worship God, and there's something about us all doing the same thing, and it sounds like a great idea, so let's make a rule about it. Jesus has a lot to say about that. He despised that kind of worship. He speaks about it on a number of occasions. And the thing I want you to see is notice the contrast between these Pharisees and Jesus. Jesus said, I'll give you rest. We say, I'll give you a rule. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. I'm gentle and lowly. And we say, I'll spell it all out for you and you'll be pleasing to everyone else. It's very hard to live by the Bible. It is not easy to live by the Bible. It's so much easier to give somebody a set of rules. This is what you can do and that's what you can do. It's hard to live by the Scripture. But God expects it. And I think our response, and what do we do in these occasions when somebody wants to drop their rules on you? Notice what Jesus says in verse 3. Have you not read? I like to use the Bible in these circumstances because Jesus did. Jesus said, you haven't read the Bible. Jesus responded with the Bible because that was the standard by which he gauged his life. Jesus didn't walk around this world deciding, I'll do this and I won't do that. He was the Lord of the Sabbath. He had the perfect right to make any decision he wanted to. But he led his life according to the Scriptures. Every time Jesus did something and somebody questioned it, Jesus showed him the Scriptures. We've already covered this in about a month ago, but look at chapter 11. John the Baptist questions Jesus. You're not ministering the way I think you should minister. John the Baptist sends people to Christ and says, I'm not even sure you are the Christ, the Messiah. I'm really doubting you. What's Jesus supposed to say? Well, I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of God, I come from heaven, I make the rules. No, notice what he does. He takes all of these disciples of John who've come to question him, he shows them the miracles that he performs in verse 5. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel. That is an exact quote, a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 4. Jesus says, I am doing what the Bible says to do. You go back and tell John, I'm living according to the Bible. Please don't question me. The Bible doesn't say that as an individual you have a right to live any way you want to live, and that any person who comes up to you and says that you're wrong, you get a big chip on your shoulder and say, nobody tells me what to do. We all have a rule we live by. It's called the Bible. If I want to talk to you about your life, I bring the Bible to you and I say, this is what the Bible says. And then you're held accountable as God works in your life. Jesus lived according to the scriptures. When people came to him, godly people like John the Baptist or a bunch of annoying pests like the Pharisees, Jesus said, haven't you read what the Bible says? How come Baptists don't want to live by the Bible? How come we want to add rules? Where does this fascination come from? The Pharisees had, and it was interesting, this conversation I had, because if you will go to any class on Judaism taught by Jews, they will explain to you why the Pharisees did this. Very plain. The Pharisees made every one of their rules because they love God and they love the Bible. And you know what they said? We want to be careful that we don't break any of the rules in the Bible. How can I be sure that I don't break any rules in the Bible? Well, I make another set of rules that are even more strict than the Bible. And so if I don't break those rules, I know I won't be breaking the Bible rules. They call it building a hedge around the Torah, their word for Bible. And what we do is we make this row of rules out here that are so strict that I'll be sure that I don't break any Bible rules. Jesus said, I'll give you rest from that kind of thing. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you put a burden on men that nobody can bear. I'll give you rest from that. You follow me. When we come to the communion table, we're celebrating a Savior who gives us a rest from this concept of I've got to live by rules. He says, live by me. Trust in me. Why can't we have a simple faith in Jesus Christ? And again, he answers them with Scripture. I'm not advocating running around and making up your own rules for life. You're a creature. God made you. And if you don't want to follow his rules as a born-again believer, he'll find a way to bring you to heal as a creature. You may break Bible rules because you don't want to be a born-again believer, but you'll have to follow his rules as a creature. You'll find it out in your body. You'll find it out in your life. You'll find it out in the things that don't work out. There's a long way or there's the easy way, but you'll find out God's in control. But we live by the Scripture, and Jesus answers by the Scripture. That's the principle. So he turns and he says, haven't you read what it says in the Scripture? How David, when he was hungry, and by the way, he uses the Scripture always in context. His disciples were hungry on the Sabbath, okay? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful. It wasn't according to your rules for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. I don't know how many times in Bible college I've heard professors puzzle over this and say, you know, David was doing something that wasn't lawful. Was Jesus excusing it? There's no puzzle. Jesus was saying, yes, David did right. The Sabbath day was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was made to be a time of rest and ease. It wasn't made to be a time to throw burdens on people. It wasn't made to be a time to rule and weigh people down with these things. It's fascinating how we can turn things around and we worship the rules and we don't understand the principles for which they were made. And we tend to look at the outside and not the inside. And it's kind of interesting. David does this, by the way, in sin. David sneaks away from Saul. His wife lets him out the window. Okay. David sneaks away. David goes and he has a great plan. All right. None. So he runs away, gathers his men. All of a sudden, he hasn't taken any food with him. This is the great military genius who doesn't even think to bring along food. And by the way, he didn't think to bring along a weapon. So he goes into the where the Ark of the Covenant was. It wasn't the temple in the sense of the stone building. And he goes in and he says, do you have any food here? I got to feed my men. And the priest says, all I've got is the showbread that's intended for the priest. David said, okay. You know, fine with me, I'll take that. And then, if you read the passage further, David said, you wouldn't happen to have any weapons around here. You know, Other than the occasional hunting shotgun that we found downstairs in the annex one time of the Sunday school building, you don't normally keep weapons around the temple. You know, remember a few years back, we found somebody had left an old, almost, I think it would have blown up in your face, shotgun if you tried to use it. Somehow it had. But you don't keep weapons at the temple, and David said you keep any weapons there. By the way, they just happened to be keeping one weapon, Goliath's sword. So David said, oh, great, I'll take that. I'm on my way to Gath. I can use a sword. So he takes the sword of Goliath of Gath back down to Gath with him so he can get a nice reception. What a dummy. David is entering into the stupidest and the worst period of his life. So David is not some spiritual giant who has gone to the temple to further the work of God, and therefore, because he's on such a higher and a greater mission, that he deserves to get the showbread. David's acting stupidly and foolishly, and he's unprepared, but he's hungry. So give him the food. That's the kind of God we've got. You know, we're the kind of person who would say, well, if you fill out this list, and if the need is there, and show me that you're spiritual, and you fit all the other rules, maybe I'll bend this rule for you. Doesn't fit. David was on a tear of foolishness, and yet he served a God that blesses and takes care of us even when we act stupid. That's the kind of God we got. The kind of God who doesn't say, I got the rules over here. We've got the kind of God who loves us and cares for us. And Jesus' disciples weren't breaking any of God's laws. They were breaking up a bunch of rules that a bunch of Pharisees got together and decided that they wanted to create to make life better. A lot of people like to do that today as well. I think the proper response is, one, take them to the Bible. I'm not sure it'll work, because if they'd been spending more time in the Bible, they probably wouldn't have done it, but we follow in the steps of Christ. Notice the next thing Jesus says. Or have you not read in the law? Now he takes them from, by the way, the histories to Torah, to law. Have you not read that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? What's he mean? He means nobody can work on the Sabbath except for who? The priests. Okay. I don't have this idea that I'm the only one working today. All right? So please don't. Sometimes people, when you preach this passage, they think the pastor, no, that's not how it works, you know. Some of you are going to go home, have to go home, take care of the animals, or say you have a lot of different things. I imagine somebody's going to have to do dishes around the house. I can pretty much guess who it is, but, you know, it's not. I don't have this idea I'm the only one who works. But I'll tell you, when it comes time for the service, this is a work day for me. This is not a day of rest for me. This is a work day. And here this is a day when I'm supposed to be worshiping God, but I'm also supposed to be meeting your needs and ministering to you. I do just what the priests do. I'm one of the profane means to treat it commonly. It doesn't mean to, the word profane doesn't mean that you treat it in a despicable way. It means it can't be the same kind of special day for you that it is for other people. You're pretty busy. The people who are down in the nursery right now are not worshiping God in the same way that you are. I imagine Rusty's changing all those diapers even as we speak. You know, I imagine. So, you know, I have quite an imagination. But when you're down there changing a diaper, I don't imagine you're singing, holy, holy. No, you're working, you're ministering. And that's the whole point. He's saying, why is Jesus making this point? He's saying, this is the Sabbath day, and I'm just like the priests. I've got ministry. And I am doing the same thing on the Sabbath day. And the Bible talks about this. And notice what he says in verse 7. If you had known what this means, he gives them a third scripture. I like to do this too, give people lots of scripture. Give them lots to think about, maybe to read. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. If you understood that, you would not have condemned the guiltless. What rules do is find people guilty who haven't broken any of the commands of the Bible. That's what rules do. If you're playing in a baseball game, okay, right, that's the wrong one because somebody in baseball just did something despicable. Let's take football. All right, it's a football game, right? You block somebody and you clip them. That means you block them from the back. You're only supposed to block them from the front. You've broken the rules. The guy's going to come over, do the clipping sign, your team's going to charge 15 yards. You have broken the rule. Have you broken God's word and sinned? No. you have not broken God's word and sinned. You've just broken the rules of that particular game. There's all the difference in the world between men's rules and breaking God's word. There's no sin attached to breaking men's rules. We try to obey men's rules, and sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. In the game of basketball, the clock is running. Your team is behind. The end of the game, you want to stop the clock. So what do? You grab the guy's jersey. That's a foul, right? It's against the rules. Why do you do it? To stop the clock. Have you sinned? Only in Christian circles have you then sinned. You know, it's time to go and confess your sin if you go to the right school. And you can go and you can confess these sins. Don't we understand men have rules to fit their circumstances, but don't you dare attach any spirituality to them. And don't you dare think to impose them on other people. He says, you have condemned the guiltless. You've laid a burden on the people that God set free. I don't know how it is that we as Baptists dare to use guilt as a motivation to get people to serve God. God uses freedom from guilt. That's how he motivates you. God doesn't motivate you to serve him by making you feel bad. He motivates you to serve him by saying, I'll set you free from guilt. I've paid for your sin. I love you. I'll take care of you. You'll sin tomorrow, and I'll take care of that too. That's God's motivation. And yet sometimes we have to grind the wheel, and we have to use the guilt to get people to do things. We'll make them feel guilty. I'll tell you, most often the place where we fall up and trip up on this is with our children. We use guilt as a motivation to get our kids to do things instead of love, instead of freedom. That's what the rules are for, because we can't trust them. They're only 18, you know. They're only ready to vote and die for their country. We can't trust them to make other decisions. Listen, God looks at us and knows every last thing you're going to do tomorrow. But if you're a born-again believer, he invites you to this table because he says, my yoke is easy. I pay for your sins. It's not the rules, it's the Savior. It's trying to live a life that's pleasing to him by his word, not trying to fulfill somebody's idea of what's right and wrong. Whose rules can you live by? I'll tell you, I make rules for myself, and I can't even live by my own rules. I made a firm promise that I was going to lay off chocolate chip cookies, and I love that chocolate chip cookie this morning. I promised myself that, but I don't even keep my own rules. But stay away from my cookie. I see my guys in the back looking at each other. No. There's a rule we do live by. Stay away from Dad's cookies, okay? But I can't even keep my own rules. What right do I have to expect you to keep my rules and make a spiritual attachment to it? We have a God who what? Desires mercy. What was he meaning when he quotes this verse here? I desire mercy. I want you to show mercy to one another. No, I don't mean that we live in a society where there are no rules. We just understand the difference between rules and spirituality, between rules and godliness. Rules are the very crumbs of godliness. Rules are the ragged ends that trail along the ground in the robe of godliness. They're nothing to them. What we want is a Savior that we act like. A Savior who says, come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why is it that our young people come to us and they don't get rest? They get more requirements and more rules. Do we say we're meek and lowly and that our service is easy? When our kids grow up in the church, how do they think about the rules of the church? I'm serious, think about that. Do they look at the rules of the church as, I can't keep all those. I couldn't possibly do that. I can't do all that. If they do, there's a problem. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Maybe what we're not doing is saying, you follow the Savior and the rest of it will fall into place. When you come to this table, you're not coming because you've kept the rules. You're coming because you know there's never been a rule you could keep. Never been a line laid down that you could guarantee that you wouldn't cross. And you've got a Savior who died for every last rule breaker among us. You've got a Savior who says, I did it for you. I love you and come to me. As we approach the Lord's table, we do so as forgiven people. I'm not supposed to use guilt to motivate you. I'm supposed to use forgiveness to motivate you. As you approach the Lord's table today, I ask you to examine yourself. I don't set down rules and say, I'll tell you who can partake and who can't. The Baptist principle is examine yourself. We don't go around making rules and judgments so that I can pass judgment on you. Examine yourself today. Look at your life. Do you have a Savior? Can you say He died for me? I love Him. He set me free from all the stupid things I would do. He set me free from all the stupid things everybody else wants me to do. And I serve Him and His Word. If you can, this table's for you. If you can look at your heart and say, I only want to do what pleases Christ. I want to be like Christ. He desires mercy and not sacrifice. You know what sacrifice was? It was a rule. It was a law. Right? Old Testament, the priest had to sacrifice. And God says, that's not really what I want. What I want is mercy. I want you to be faithful and true to my word. I want you to love me. I want you to demonstrate mercy to other people. If we would live that way, we'd find more people saying, they are kind of more like Christ than I thought. How many people look at a Baptist church from the outside and say, I can't keep all those rules? You talk to a lot of people, and what do they know about Baptist? We don't dance and we don't chew. We don't smoke, we don't chew, and we don't dance with the girls that do. You know, that's the whole thing. You're Baptist, you don't do that, do you? Well, I never thought of it that way. I don't want it to be what I don't do. I want them to see Jesus Christ. I want them to see that I'm like Christ. If they like that, if that's pleasing to them, fine. If that's not pleasing to them, well, that's just as fine with me too. I can't live by your rules. I refuse to live by your rules unless it's in the Bible. And I want to please my Savior. And everything that pleases Him is between the covers of this book. That's the commitment that we make because we've got a forgiving and loving Savior. We don't have this set of externals. It's supposed to be inside. God is a spirit, and He is seeking men to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's pray. Father, this is your table. It's of your Son. We come today to thank you and to praise you for every last bit of freedom that we have in Him. You set us free from our own sin and sinful desires. We don't want to please ourselves. We don't want to live according to our own lights. We want to live according to Jesus and be like Christ. We want to follow your word. And we just find it so hard. It just doesn't come easy. We just fall into these other ways. And I look at my life this week and it's so open before you. I'm only here because Christ has forgiven me. Help us, Father, to worship you in that way. Help us to have, as a church, an attitude, a demeanor, a behavior that shows that to other people. May people look at us and say they're just like their Savior. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.